chapter 10, having deliverance of Nalagoba and Manigriva. The story of cursing Nalagoba and Manigriva and their deliverance by Krishna under the all blissful desire of great sage Narada are described as follows. Next paragraph. The two great demigods of the name Nalagoba and Manigriva were sons of the treasurer of the demigods, namely Kubera, who was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And by the grace of Lord Shiva, his material opulences had no limit. And as usual, rich man's sons become too much addicted to wine and women. These two sons of Kuber, namely Nalagoba and Manigriva, were also too much addicted to wine and sex. Once upon a time, these two demigods, desiring to enjoy, entered the garden of Lord Shiva in the province of Kailasa on the bank of Mandakini Ganges. In that place, they drank too much and were engaged in hearing sweet singing of a beautiful woman accompanying them in that garden, which was full of fragrant flowers. In such intoxicated condition, both of them entered the water of the Ganges, which was full with the lotus flower, and began to enjoy the company of the young girls exactly like the elephant enjoys with the sea elephants within the water. Next paragraph. While they were so enjoying in the water, all of a sudden, Narada, the great sage, happened to pass that way, that the demigods known as Nalagoba and Manigriva was too much intoxicated and could not see even that Narada was passing on that way. Young girls, however, were not so much intoxicated like the demigods, and they at once became ashamed on account of their being naked before the great sage Narada, and they began to cover themselves immediately with all hastiness. But the two demigods, sons of Kuber, were so much intoxicated that they could not appreciate the presence of sage Narada, and therefore did not cover their body. Great sage Narada, on seeing the two demigods too much degraded by intoxication, wanted their welfare, and therefore he exhibited his causeless mercy upon them by cursing them, and began to say as follows. The great sage was compassionate upon them, therefore he wanted to finish their false enjoyment in intoxication and associating with young girls, and wanted them to see Lord Krishna eye to eye. Therefore he conceived of cursing them as follows. He said that tendency for material enjoyment is due to increase of the modes of passion. Thus, therefore, in the material world, when he is favored by a material opulence of richness, generally one becomes addicted to three things, namely intoxication, sex life, and gambling. Such materially opulent men, being puffed up with accumulation of sufficient wealth, becomes so much merciless that they indulge in killing animals by opening regular slaughter houses, thinking themselves that they would never die, and they are born to live forever. Such foolish persons forgetting the laws of nature, so become too much puffed up with the body as civilized or demigods, without knowing that the material body, either it is very much advanced in civilization or attainment of the position of demigods, after death, this body would turn into ashes or stool. And whatever the external condition of the body may be, within there are only stools, urine, and various kinds of worms. Thus being engaged in jealousy and violence to other bodies, they cannot understand the ultimate goal of life. And without knowing this goal of life, generally they glide down to the Hades condition of life in the next life. Such foolish persons commit all kinds of sinful activities on account of this temporary body, but they are unable to consider whether this body actually belongs to them. Generally, it is said that the body belongs to such person who feeds the body. Please therefore consider whether this body belongs to me personally, or this body belongs to my master, where I render service just like animal, and he pays me for upkeep of this body. Master of slaves claim a full right on the body of the slave, because the master feeds the slave by supplying foodstuff. Not so, it may be questioned whether this body to the father, who is the seed-giving master of this body. The next question, whether this body belongs to mother, because mother, while the child is within the womb, develops the body of the child by her own blood and secretion. Beginning of the development of this body, the mother helps by clearing
and imparting Krishna. Foolish persons are engaged in the matter of committing all sorts of sinful activities on account of misconception of identification of the material body's self. But one should be intelligent enough to understand as to whom this body belongs. Foolish person indulge in killing other animals for maintaining this body, but he does not consider whether this body belongs to him or to his father, or to his mother, or to his grandfather. Sometimes a grandfather, mother's father, gives in charity his daughter to a person with a view to get back the child as his son. Body may also belong to a stronger man who forces another body to work for him. Sometimes the slave's body is sold to the master, and from that day the body belongs to the master. And at the end of life, we either go to the fire, because the body is given to the fire for being burned into ashes. Sometimes the body is thrown in the street to be eaten by the dogs. So before committing all kinds of sins for maintaining the body, one should be considerate to understand as to whom the body belongs. Ultimately, it is concluded that the body is product of the material nature, and at the end, it merges into the material nature. Therefore, the conclusion should be that the body belongs to the material nature, and why one should wrongly think that this body belongs to him, and for maintaining a false position, why one should indulge in killing innocent animals for maintaining the body. When a man is infatuated with false prestige of opulence, he does not care for any moral instruction, but indulge in wine, woman, and animal killing. In such circumstances, a poor man is better situated, because a poor man thinks of himself in comparison to other bodies. A poor man does not wish to inflict injuries to other bodies, because he can think of himself that if he is injured, he feels pain. As such, the great sage Narada thought that the demigods known as Nalakubar and Manigrim was so much infatuated by false prestige, they should be put into a condition of life where there is no opulence. Next paragraph. A person who has got some pinprick in his does not wish other similarly being pricked by pins. Similarly, a conscientious man in a life of poverty does not wish that others also put into such condition of life. Generally, it is seen that one who has become rich from poverty-stricken life, at the end of their life, they make some charitable institution so that other poverty-stricken may take advantage of such institution. In other words, a compassionate poor man can think of others' pains and pleasure by comparing himself in such condition. Hardly a poor man becomes puffed up with false pride and is free from all kinds of infatuation. He can remain satisfied whatever by the grace of the Lord he gets for his maintenance. As such, to remain in poverty-stricken condition is a kind of austerity. According to Vedic culture, therefore, the Brahmins, as a matter of routine, they keep themselves in poverty-stricken condition to save themselves from the false prestige of material opulence. False prestige out of advancement of material prosperity is a great impediment for spiritual emancipation. The poverty-stricken man cannot become unnaturally fatty by eating more and more. And on account of not being able to eat more than he requires, his senses are not very turbulent. When the senses are not very turbulent, he cannot become violent also. Next paragraph. Another advantage of poverty-stricken person is that saintly person can easily enter his house, and he can get advantage of the association of saintly person. A very rich man, opulent man, does not allow anyone to enter in his house Therefore, a saintly person also cannot enter in his house. According to Vedic system, a saintly person takes the position of a beggar, mendicant, so that on the plea of begging something from the householder, he can enter any house, and the householder who has forgotten anything about spiritual advancement on account of being too busy in maintaining the family affairs, gets some advantage of the association of saintly person for spiritual emancipation. There is great chances for the poor man to become liberated on account of being associated with saintly person. What is the use of such persons who are puffed up with material affluence of wealth, prestige, if they are bereft of the association of saintly persons and devotees of the Supreme Personality of God? The great sage Nara thereafter thought that it was his duty to put those demigods into a condition of life where they could not be falsely proud of their material opulence and prestige. In other words, says Narad was compassionate with their fallen condition and wanted to save them from such pitiable life. They were in the modes of darkness, therefore unable to control their senses, addicted too much to sex life, and it was the duty of saintly person to save them from such abominable condition of life. In the animal life, there is no sense of the animals to understand that he is naked. The two demigods were sons of a great leader of the human society or demigod society known as Kubera. Kubera was the treasurer of the demigods, very responsible man. And Nalakubed and Manigrev were two sons of him, but they became so much animal-like, irresponsible, that they could not understand on account of being intoxicated that they were naked. In other words, to cover the lower part of the body is human civilization. When a man or woman forgets these principles of human civilization, he or she is no more than animal only. Narada says therefore thought that the best punishment for them was to make them immovable living entity or the trees. The trees are by nature's law stopped moving. Therefore, although the trees are covered in the modes of ignorance, they cannot do more harm by such modes of ignorance. The great sage Narada, however, thought within himself that although they would be punished to become trees, still, by his mercy, they would continue to keep their memory to understand as to from what condition of life they are put into the condition of becoming trees. Generally, a living entity, after changing the body, he forgets the condition of his previous life. But in special cases, by the grace of the Lord, just like this Nalakubed and Manigrev, although got the life of immovable trees, still they continue to remember their former condition of life. Next paragraph. Sage Narada therefore contemplated that the two demigods should remain
for 100 years of the demigods in the form of priests. After that, they would be fortunate enough to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face by His causeless mercy, and thus they would be again promoted to the life of the demigods and become great devotees of the Lord. After this, the great sage Narada returned to his place known as Narayana Ashram, and the two demigods of the name Nalakuver and Manigrib turned into trees known as twin Arjun trees grown on the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. In other words, the two demigods, Nalakuver and Manigrib, was favored by the causeless mercy of Narada, so that they were given the chance of being grown at the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj to get a chance of seeing Lord Krishna face to face. Now, the child Krishna, when he was bound up with the wooden mortar, began to proceed towards the twine trees in order to fulfill the foretelling of his great devotee Narada. At that time, Lord Krishna thought within himself that Narada was his great devotee, and those trees standing as twine Arjun trees were the sons of Kuber. Therefore, I must now fulfill the words of my great devotee Narada. After thinking this, child Krishna began to proceed through the passage in between the two trees. And although he went out of the space of the trees, the wooden mortar fell down horizontally and was stuck between the two trees. Taking this advantage of the mortar being stuck to the trees, Lord Krishna began to snatch the rope tied in his waist very strongly. And as soon as there was a great jerking on account of his pulling the rope, the two trees with great sound immediately fell down with entire branches and leaves in the tree. When the tree fell down, out of the broken trees, two great personalities blustering like blazing fire came out of the trees, and on account of their presence, all sides become illuminated and beautiful. And such two purified bodies immediately came before child Krishna and bowed down to offer their respects and offer their prayers in the following words. In quotation, "My dear Lord Krishna, you are the original personality of Godhead and the master of all mystic powers. Planet Brahmins knows it very well that this cosmic manifestation is expansion of your potencies, and they are sometimes manifested and sometimes not manifested. You are the life, body, and senses, or you are the original proprietor of the life, body, and senses of all living entities. You are the eternal tribe, Lord Vishnu, who is all-pervading, imperishable controller of everything. You are the original source of cosmic manifestation, the material nature, both phenomenal and nominal, which are acting manifestedly
under the spell of three modes of material nature, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. You are living as the super soul in all the multi forms of living entities. And you know very well everything what is going on within their body and mind. Therefore, you are the supreme director of all activities of living entities. But although you are in the midst of everything under the spell of material modes of nature, you are not affected by such contaminated qualities. Nobody in the jurisdiction of the material qualities can understand your transcendental qualities. Your transcendental qualities existed before the creation. Therefore, you are called the supreme transcendence. Therefore, offer our respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of you, Lord Vasudev, and the supreme Brahman, who is always glorified by his personal internal potencies. In this material world, you can be known only by your different incarnations. Although you assume different types of bodies, they are not anything of the material creation. Such bodies are always full of transcendental potencies of unlimited opulence, strength, beauty, reputation, wisdom, and renunciation. In the material existence, there is difference between the body and the owner of the body. But because you appear in your original spiritual body, there is no such difference between yourself and body. As such, when you appear, your uncommon activities only indicate that you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and such uncommon activities are not possible by any other body in the material existence. You are that Supreme Personality of Godhead now appeared to cause the birth and death as well as liberation, and you are full with all your plenary expansions, and you can bestow upon everyone all kinds of benediction. O my Lord, the source of all auspiciousness and goodness, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, because you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, the supreme source of peacefulness, and the supreme personality in the dynasty of King Jodu. My Lord, our father, known as Kubera, the demigod, is your servant. Similarly, the great sage Narada is also your servitor, and by their grace only we have been able to see you personally. We therefore pray that we may always be engaged in your transcendental loving service by speaking only about your glories and hearing about your transcendental activities. Our hands and other limbs of the body may be engaged in your service. Our mind may always be wrapped up on your lotus feet, and our heads may always be bowed down before the all-pervading universal form of your Lordship. That's why when the demigods Nala Kuber and Manigri finish their prayers, that time Lord Child Krishna, the master and proprietor of Gokula, that condition of being bound up by the ropes of Yashoda with the grinding wooden mortar, began to smile and said as follows. It was already known to me that my great devotee, sage Narada, had showed his causeless mercy by saving you from very abominable condition on account of your being plucked up due to extraordinary beauty and opulence in the family of demigods. Please saved you from gliding down to the lowest condition of hellish life, being such puffed up, and all these facts were already known to me. You are very much fortunate because you are not only cursed by him, but you had the greatest opportunity to see him. If somebody perchance is able to see face to face great saintly persons like Narada, who are always equiposed, merciful to everyone, then immediately a conditioned soul becomes liberated simply by seeing such great personality. This is exactly like the eyes situated in full light of sun. There cannot be any impediment of vision. Therefore, O Nalakubera and Manikdev, your life has now become successful because you have now developed ecstatic love for me. As such, this is your last birth within the material existence. Now you can go back to your father's residence in the heavenly planet, and by remaining in such attitude of devotional service, you will be liberated in this very life. After this, both the demigods Nalakubara and Manigriva circumambulated the Lord many times and bowing down before him again and again, and thus they left the place, and the Lord remained in such condition of being bound up with ropes and the grinding mortar. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of Krishna in the 10th chapter in the matter of Narada cursing two demigods, Nalakubera and Manigriva.